It's Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Teich. The big news out of state government this week was Governor Jim Doyle's budget address. And while state government will be consumed for the foreseeable future with trying to erase a massive budget deficit, the business of state government does still allow for time tonight to celebrate the appointment of a new state poet laureate. Marilyn Taylor was named Wisconsin's Poet Laureate by Governor Jim Doyle in November. Taylor taught for years in the UW-Milwaukee English Department and was the city's Poet Laureate in 2004 and 2005. She stopped by the Lake Effect studio recently and started by reading one of her recent poems. She introduces it for us.
I have a poet friend with whom I email who's about my age. Well, no, he's way older. But he did send me an email with the following sentence in it. It's called, "Being 60-something is bad. Being 70-something will be worse. No way to gild this lily." His name is Dick Allen. He's a wonderful poet. So I wrote a poem called No Way. Can't gild this lily. Rewrite the plot. Unstake your claim. Airbrush that shot. Unfix the game. Remake your bed. Rub out your mark. Debone your head. Unsay your piece, loosen the noose, dig up your grave, decook your goose. Unburn that bridge, try again, turn back the clock, ever, amen.
Marilyn Taylor, welcome to Lake Effect, and congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I'm still getting used to it myself.
The state of Wisconsin is, I would say, pretty busy right now with a huge deficit. People are losing their jobs. Times are tough. Do you ask yourself questions about the role of a poet laureate for the state of Wisconsin at a time like this?
Well, I would say comic relief, but often it's not very comical at all. And the thing that we're trying to relieve ourselves from isn't very comical at all. But I do think that there's more than the political to life. And to sit in a corner and turn off the TV with all the bad news and curl up with a good book of poems, something you really like and enjoy, that's therapeutic. And yes, I think. And also there are poems that help create a difference, too. If people read things with a certain amount of idealism, I think it might be a long route, but there is a route toward having something happen because of poetry.
Well, and the notion that even as the state is dealing with the situation that it's in, the notion of what we're trying to preserve and we talk about economic recovery and what we want to protect.
Exactly. I certainly think the arts should be in the top three of that list, if not first place, because without the arts, we're in terrible shape. Worse shape than we are now, even though that may not sound possible.
I've had some conversations with writers in the past few months, and we've talked about whether when you evaluate, say, the fiction that comes out of this period 50 years from now, whether it will be colored by the economic circumstances. And the verdict was out, if you will. And what about poetry? Is there something to be said for poetry that reflects its time and also poetry that is completely removed from its time?
Well, I have a couple of opinions on that. I think that poetry is first, I think, an art and not a political voice. I think the political voices are all found on the internet now, and there are plenty of other places to go for it. I think that a poet can make a mistake by trying to be too much of the moment. And I think if he thinks in terms of the future, the present, and the past, and sort of tries to combine ongoing human concerns in poems, that's where the poet and the reader is probably better off.
Do you see yourself in this role as an ambassador to poetry? What do you envision the role of? Do you make the poet laureate role your own?
I think, that's a difficult question, but I think, yeah, ambassador is a very good word. I think that's what I'm going to try to do. My thrust when I decided that this would be something I would want to go for would be not so much promoting established poets in this state who are, you know, sort of there and doing their thing already, but to try to broaden the footprint of poetry among people who never pick up a book of poems, who never go to a poetry reading, who think that it's either scary or weird or all of the above, and to try to make it user-friendly and to go to places where poetry readings sometimes don't come, and to maybe involve the people who are not into poetry yet.
So does your approach change whether you're in Milwaukee or you're in Door County or you're in, say, Hayward?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that the people have the same motives and the same degrees of appreciation of art. And by art, I certainly don't mean something off-putting. I mean just something that can be enjoyed that isn't necessarily useful or practical, but in a slightly different category. of
you'd seem to run the risk of talking about art with a capital A wherever
you go. Yeah, exactly. The old English curly A. Not at all. I think that poetry can really speak for what's going on right now. I think it can speak for and in the voice of all the age groups that we're dealing with. And I think it speaks for people who don't ever sit down and read it. If they did, they'd see themselves.
Well, and how do you make the case to someone who's never sat down and read poetry or who has not since high school, for example? How do you... I mean, you obviously don't want to be in a position mm-hmm. where you're trying to, you know, twist their arm to do it. But what's the case you make to people who haven't been exposed to poetry?
Well, it's not so much the case I make. It's where I do it and what I do. I got actually this idea from Robert Pinsky, who was the former poet laureate of the United States. He has started something called America's Favorite Poems. That's what it's called, I think. And he has people who are not poets bring to an event their favorite poem. It's by invitation, and have them read it out loud to the gathered assembly. And these are not necessarily the usual, the bookstore, funky bar, you know, kind of poets, but to take it to a different area of people who are interested and who appreciate the arts. But, for example, people will buy season tickets to the symphony who don't necessarily play the bassoon. They'll go to the ballet to watch it, even though they would fall down if they tried to kick their leg up. But poetry doesn't have that, and I think Pinsky's had a great deal of success with his sort of outreach. Bring your favorite poem from school, whether it's, you know, Old Ironsides or Howl by Ginsberg or whatever it is, and read it to everyone else. And some of them, I went to one that was wonderfully well done in Fond du Lac at their Wendover Center for the Arts, and they had invited local dignitaries to come. And they did beautifully. And they chose poems that astonished me. They weren't the old war horses at all. So I know these people probably have a secret life. They read poetry in little dark corners where nobody will see them. No, I'm overstating that. But it's amazing how many people do appreciate poetry and want to help spread the word. So I think that's what I'll try to do. Not exclusively, but partly.
You are the poet laureate for the whole state of Wisconsin. Is there something inherently Wisconsin about your own work?
My own work? I don't think so. In fact, I was asked that before about, is there such a thing as a Wisconsin voice? And my answer to that is no. I really don't think so. I think that there is a level of quality of poetry that's coming out of this state about all sorts of things, from, you know, the North Woods to one's innermost philosophies to everything in between, that could stand on its own on either coast, New York City, the West Coast, and it's poetry of huge quality and a great deal of variety. And I don't think there's a Wisconsin voice to it.
But that doesn't mean there's not a sense of place that one can get from a Wisconsin poem.
Oh, absolutely not. There certainly is, if that's what the poet set out to do. However, a lot of Wisconsin poets don't set out to do that. I don't know too many poems about bubblers, but maybe there are some.
The sense of place for some people is the sense of the place inside their head.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Well said, Mitch.
You came to poetry kind of mid-career,
well, late is another word for it. Late and sort of through the back door. I had written a few poems as a kid, but it was never anything that I took particularly seriously. And then I went into advertising copywriting, which is a far cry from writing poetry, even though I did do a few jingles. I wrote them for the Chicago Tribune. The jingle part was about a stuffed dog that we were giving away for year-long subscriptions, and his name was Cuddly Dudley. And I was writing things that rhymed with cuddly. It wasn't easy. But at any rate, I had no idea that I was going into poetry until I took some courses at UWM. I started a master's course there, a master's program there. And I realized that this is what I should have been doing all along. And I got there through linguistics, not through some idealism that I wanted to get down on paper as a 19 or 20-year-old. I was far beyond being an idealist at that point, and I sort of came into poetry by way of a craftsperson. And that has served me well. I learned the nuts and bolts of poetry, and I learned the rules, and I eventually became free to break those rules. But I think my poetry is still informed by meter, by rhyme, by form, like a sonnet, that sort of thing. And I still write in those forms a lot of the time. People don't tend to realize that you can have a heck of a lot of fun writing in forms, and you don't have to be a stick in the mud or stuffy or real, real middle class or pardon the expression, Republican, to do it. But I think that the knee-jerk reaction sometimes is that that's what it means. It means, you know, sort of wearing a necktie poetry or the equivalent. And that's not what I am at all. But I think it's just actually a poet that I know well. She's should be famous. She's widely published, but no one seems to have ever heard of her. Her name is Rina Espaillat. And she writes formal poems as well. And when asked why, she said, "I like to dance in a box." And that's kind of the way I look at it, too. If I'm restricted to 14 lines, I mess around with them a little bit, and I have to make that turn in the middle of the poem, I do better. Not everyone writes like that, but I do.
But do you feel like it was easier for you to wrap your mind around learning those rules, if you will, or the formula, if you will, given that you already knew something about yourself when you got to the point that you were studying poetry, having had at least a partial lifetime full of experiences?
Yes, I think that's part of it. I think I teach a lot of people who are retired. I have a yearly thing at Bjork London, which is Lawrence University's outreach center in Bailey's Harbor, where the people are mostly retired in their 60s, 70s, even 80s. And they have so much to say. I know that some people do exceedingly well with middle school kids and high school kids, and I admire them. But I know myself well enough to know that I would ask someone that does that well to take classes like that if I'm asked to do them for the Poet Laureate position. And I do much better with people, adults and older adults.
Do you feel like you had experiences as the Poet Laureate of Milwaukee that you'll be able to apply towards this this term as Poet Laureate of the state?
Well, maybe. I don't have stage fright anymore. I think it's very much the same thing, but just with broader peripheries, broader boundaries.
Do you think of being Poet Laureate of Wisconsin in terms of success or failure when you get to the end of this term? I will have been a success at being Poet Laureate if X, Y, or Z happens?
I think I would only say that I would feel as though I had been a success if I opened people's eyes to what poems have in them and to create some enjoyment of poetry that perhaps didn't exist before, and perhaps even get someone to try their hand at writing a few and joining the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets, which is a marvelous organization, very supportive statewide.
When you're writing a poem or you're reading a poem or you're teaching poetry, do you think about your life before you were in poetry and contrast the feeling of personal fulfillment that you get out of what you do now versus what you had done in, say, advertising?
Well, you know, I don't really overtly articulate that in my head. I think that it's always there, that I have this wonderful outlet now to put all of the We all have strange feelings and sensitivities and reactions to things, and I internalized them for decades, and now I think being able to put them on paper and then the fun part, shaping them into a poem and not saying what nobody else cares about but try to make it into an art object, if you will, that is different and that is fun. It's always fun. I'll never stop.
Well, and I guess it's the question that really one poses to anyone who has sort of changed lives midstream, and that is, do you appreciate it more now knowing that you've experienced something else in the past?
I think I come into it with a little more objectivity and maybe a little more finely honed critical sense, too. I know what I don't like. Don't ask me. And I think, yeah, that having lived a life as a non-poet, it has helped my poetry. It's interesting for me to be aware now, which is something I wasn't aware then, that there's this enormous poetry subculture in the state and in all states and in other countries as well, where we get together and we have conferences and we meet up. There's one that starts tomorrow. It's not a poetry conference. It's Associated Writing Programs in Chicago, and I'm going to see every poet I've ever known there, and we're all going to get together if we can and listen to panels and lectures and readings, and it's alive. It just hums, and no one has a clue.
It must be, for lack of a better term, kind of cool to go to one of these conferences now as the Poet Laureate of Wisconsin.
We'll see. I'll let you know. I've never been to one as Wisconsin Poet Laureate. If people, you know, genuflect, that'll be very nice.
Well, I will verbally genuflect here and say, Marilyn Taylor, thank you so much for
you
spending
time
with us.
You are very, very welcome. This was fun.
Marilyn Taylor was appointed the Poet Laureate for the state of Wisconsin in November. A reception celebrating that appointment takes place in Madison tonight. Her tenure as state poet laureate runs through fall of 2010. Before she left, Marilyn Taylor read another recent poem for us.
When I was teaching at UWM a couple of years ago, a student came up to me and after class to tell me that her poem was late. And she said, "Professor Taylor, I'm sorry my poem is late. I'll be turning it in tomorrow if it's any constellation." And she'd written this on a piece of paper, and I picked up the piece of paper, and I said, "Any constellation?" And I tucked it away in my laptop, and I thought, that's going to be a poem one of these days. And this is that poem that I wrote. It's a sonnet entitled, "Any Constellation." About that poem, will light come out of it? And will it blaze like Ariadne's crown with phosphorescent daggers hanging down? Will galaxies recede to make it fit? I think I'll go outside tonight and stare straight up so we can find the perfect place for it. Some pleasant cul-de-sac in space with curb appeal, adjacent to the bear, perhaps, or tucked under the outspread wings of Pegasus, who might suspend his flight so he can skim over your poem tonight, along with scores of goddesses and kings, those starry listeners, silent and remote, wheeling to the pulse of what you wrote.
Wisconsin Poet Laureate Marilyn Taylor reading her poem called Any Constellation. That's the Wednesday edition of Lake Effect. Tomorrow on the show, more poetry, this time from the nationally renowned Nikki Giovanni, plus our regular astronomy look upward, and a new dark novel from Milwaukee author Valerie Lakin. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks for listening. I hope you can join us again tomorrow and every weekday at 10 in the morning, 11 at night for Lake Effect from WUWM HD, Milwaukee Public Radio.